little people growing up, young people. Mighty, mighty warriors of God. All right, this morning we're going to read from 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. And it says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from the human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that everyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and the new has become. All this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ and has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation, so that we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Guys, this is mind-blowing. It's a mind-blowing change of circumstances. When we see what God is doing in this passage, God is intervening to bring about such transformation, to bring about such change in our lives and such change in our world. And we don't want to take this passage for granted, as so much in Scripture. And we're finishing off today our identity course, where we've been asking God, Lord, show us not what life has told us about ourselves, not what the devil has lied to about us, not the lies that have been graffitied onto our life, but rather what does God say about us? So that out of what God says about us, we can live in that true identity. And it's something we've got to work into our lives. We've got to repeat over and over again. And little Malachi, he's not here today, but my granddaddy, he's learning, his mom's teaching him that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. So she says to him, I am fearfully. And he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And he says, and wonderfully made. He hasn't got it right yet, but he's having it repeated and repeated until one day he'll be able to say it. And then one day he'll get it. I'm not just a biological mistake from some chemical reaction, but actually made in the image of God, and will give him dignity and purpose as he grows up. And that's what we want for our children, and that's what we want for the coming generations, but it's what we want for ourselves, because the devil has been lied to us from the day that we were born, and saying you're less than what God, you're less than you, you're nothing, you're meaningless, your life is purposelessness, is purposeless. And God says, no, I made you my image. I created you for a purpose. I created you for something so more glorious. And here we see this beautiful passage. God is at work, transforming us into that image, transforming us into that identity. And today, the final part of our series is we're looking at, I am an ambassador. Christ has commissioned me. And there's so much in this, but it's beautiful. This passage starts out, the transformation comes where we are now controlled by the love of Christ. There's been a change of ownership. There's been a change of power. Who's in control? It's no longer our sinful, selfish nature that's just all about me, me, and my. It's now God's love. The most powerful force on earth is the love of Christ. It's the love that caused Christ to go to the cross and save the world from its sins, save the world from all its problems, restore God back to man. There is no more powerful love, no more powerful force in the world than the love of Christ. And this scripture is saying, you Christians, there's a power to control you that will mean your life will become such an instrument of something that is so beautiful and so powerful. When we stop going, I'm going to be controlled by my sinful nature, which is all about me, myself, and I, and be controlled by the love of Christ. And that's there for us. He's put his love within us if we will just respond to it. And it's beautiful to be free from the whim and the wants of our fallen nature. It's like, gimme, gimme, gimme. You know the seagulls, and was it Finding Nemo? They're all going, mine, 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 mine. When they see a piece of scrap, mine, mine. Like, give it to me. And it's such a good mockery of that greed, mine, mine. The opposite, the love of God, frees us from that, gimme, gimme, gimme. And love is such a beautiful thing. Because it wants the best for anybody it meets. Isn't that beautiful? We know when we're dealing with someone and they're acting out of the selfish sin nature, it's not fun to be around a self-centered person. But when you find someone who's loving you, they've got your highest good at heart. And Romans 13:10 says this, love does no wrong to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love can never cause somebody wrong. Love always hopes for, prays for, works for the highest good for somebody. And isn't that a beautiful thing to be constrained by Christ's love? Imagine this multiplying in our lives. Imagine our lives coming to the place where love is winning out over our selfish nature. And it's been multiplied. Imagine a community where this love prevails. Where this love predominates. What a beautiful thing that would be. And that's Jesus' vision for the church. That's what he says. I'm going to transform each one of you and corporately into a body that loves like me. How appealing, how attractive that will be. And that's Jesus' dream. Lord, let us be that community that knows how to live for the highest good of those around us. Transformative stuff. If we go back to this passage, it says we've received this new life. Jesus commissions us. He calls us away from that life of me, me, and I. He calls us to be motivated by a new commission. A life that he came in that same love to lay down his life so that people could be restored to God. And he's commissioned us in the same sense. And we want to hear that voice. We want to hear a voice that calls us out of our old ways and into this new. We're going to look at this passage in Corinthians today. We're going to pick out three phases in our text today. Three phases that stand out that we want to concentrate on. And they're highlighted in yellow in that slide if everything's working properly. And the first one is that we are a new creation. A new person, as it says in this translation. But God says, we were brought into existence, we were created by God along with the rest of creation, but we were made in his image. But that counter culture, that sin came in, that selfishness, that me first came in. When Eve and Adam and Eve saw that if I have that, God hasn't given it to me, but if I gimme, gimme, mine, mine. That same spirit of I'll put myself first and I'll take for myself what God has forbidden. And it caused the whole of creation to fall. It caused a catastrophic separation from the God of love. And the reason for that is because it's like a virus that invaded human nature. And it caused a disease in all our relationships, in all our society, the virus of sin. And the beautiful thing is that this is saying, God's saying, I'm going to come in and I'm going to take that virus out of you. And I'm going to restore you to the image. I'm going to restore you. You're going to be reborn. You're going to be recreated without the virus. And Jesus came and he took the virus of sin upon himself on the cross. He absorbed it into himself. And in his righteousness, he overcame it as he faced the judgment of God on the cross. An absolute a demonstration of that incredible love for the people who had sinned against him, the people who rejected him. He came and he loved us. And he removed the virus from us. So we are a new creation to live differently. And this is what God has done for us. That we can be born again. We accept Christ. Let him deal with our sin. Believe in that. Repent of our sin. God has done this for us. We become a new creature. We can live out of a different set of foundational truth as we become a new creature. And then the other thing we want to look at in this passage is reconciliation. And this is not what God has done for us, but this is what God has done between us. It's what He's done between you and me and Him. That when we sinned, our sin is a complete corruption. It's like the opposite of what love is, the love of Christ that we've been talking about. Love is the most powerful force. It's the essence of who God is. And love operates outward towards others. Sin is distorted love. It operates inwards towards self. It's actually like matter and antimatter. God is love. Love is the matter, and sin is the antimatter. It's the exact opposite. It's the antithesis of who God is. That's why God could never let sin go. That's why God could never let sin into heaven. It's a complete aberration. It's a complete opposite to who He is. And that's why Jesus had to come and say, I've got to take that out of your life. You've got to be willing to give it up, and you've got to trust me, because you can't do it yourself because of your fallenness. Give it to me. Believe in me. I'll take it upon myself. I'll take the judgment of the Father because of it, and I'll restore you to the Father. I'll give you grace that you don't deserve. I'll give you love that you don't deserve. While you're my enemy, I'll die for you. And so in loving like that, that love, do you see the power of that love? It just overwhelms the antimatter of sin. But we can never mix the two. And that's why there's always the truth that has to challenge the sin. So that say, I'm working to restore you. I'm working to bring you back. And Jesus is the mediator. He'll stretch out His arms on the cross and be the bridge by which you can come back to me. And that's what reconciliation is. Look at Romans 5 and verse 10. It says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now will we be reconciled. Having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Think about that word reconciliation. The cause of the contention between us and God, the antimatter, the virus that made it impossible for us to be with God. Jesus has removed that so that we can be reconciled to a God who is just pure, solid, tangible, unadulterated love. And that's what we've all been missing all of our lives. And God said, come back to that. I want you. I've reached out because I'm drawing you to myself. Come and be reconciled to me. Let me deal with that antimatter, that muck that's messed everything up in your life. And estranged sinners come back to God. When we look at the world, we must look at the world through that lens, through the heart of God. He looks at the world. He understands their sin better than we do. And He judges it rightly. We judge it sometimes rightly, sometimes wrongly. But the thing that motivates God is, come home. Come away from that brokenness. Come away from what the devil has done in your life. Come away. And He looks at a very sinful world that's on a crash course to hell. Away from Him, deeper and deeper into darkness. But God's call to them is, come home. Come be reconciled. I love you and I want to bring you back. And every single one of us who come to Jesus is a testimony that this is what God does. What an amazing message, guys. We know it so well, but we need to. Oh man, a God of reconciliation. And then the last thing that we see of the three terms is we are ambassadors. And that's what God wants to do with us. So we've looked at what He's done for us, what He's done between us. Now He wants to do, look, we want to look at what He wants to do with us. He's such an active God, but he's such a proactive God. But He says, I'm not going to do this alone. I'm going to include you. I want you to be a part of this great heart of mine that's reaching out to appeal to the world. Come home. Be restored to me. Be restored to my heart. Be restored to my love. I want to show you my love. And God's calling us, young people and old, to be ambassadors. And what is an ambassador? What does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? And how will that affect the way we live? The word means to be an envoy. It means to be, it was like the emperor's legates. It was those who represented the emperor. It's someone who is a representative for someone else. Just the English definition is it's an accredited diplomat sent by a state as its permanent representative in a foreign country. So it's a person who acts as a representative or a promoter of a particular body or activity. A definition of an envoy is someone who is sent as a representative from one government or organization to another. And there's a few key things we want to see about that. We need to understand that as ambassadors, we are sent. God says, I want you to go and represent me in a foreign place. Not a place that you necessarily feel at home, in a place that's different to you, different to the values that you carry from your homeland. And I want you to go and communicate my message. So the ambassador doesn't come with his own opinion, come with his own teaching. He speaks what he hears from the king, from the governor of the homeland. And he doesn't just live the way he feels like. He doesn't live like the culture of the foreign country he's in. He lives according to the culture and the norms and the values of the homeland. And he has a citizenship. We saw that last week in that place. But the beautiful thing, if you look at an embassy, where an ambassador, it's the seat of the ambassador. It's a little piece of that foreign country. So the Australian embassy in Wellington that's actually Australian territory. It's governed by Australian rules. If an Australian citizen were to flee there for some reason, they're considered to be in Australia. It's the same with a ship that's under a national flag. Wherever that ship sails, it's a little piece of the US or whatever, and it's governed by the rules. And that's a beautiful metaphor, because where we are, where the ambassador is, in our home, in our workplace, if we are an employer, whatever, we bring that those kingdom values, and there's a little piece of heaven as we live according to God's principles and the culture of heaven, the heavenly culture, that love culture, wherever we are, in our family, in our workplace, even as an individual surrounded by people from the foreign nation, we're bringing something of God's kingdom and we're representing Him. We speak His voice. We speak His wishes. Isn't that an incredible responsibility? Isn't it a beautiful thing to think about that in our household, our family, run by the principles of God? And you could say it like this: I am on the King's mission, proclaiming the King's message with the King's help. And there are three things that we want to look at about the role of an ambassador. It's a lot of threes today. Three things about an ambassador. There are three actionable components. Things that we want to be practicing, living out as we recognize our identity as ambassadors. And we're going to look at Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And it says here, "For Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age.'" Beautiful, the Great Commission. It's the mission of the church. It's the last thing that Jesus said to the church. This is why I'm leaving you guys. This is the job you've got to do. But He's saying, you're ambassadors. I'm sending you on a mission. And He gives them authority. He says, "All authority has been given to me. Go in my authority." And if all authority has been given to Jesus, does the devil have any authority? Jesus has all the authority. And we're able to stand in that thing. It's so practical, it's so beautiful that all of heaven backs us when we are on God's mission. And the Lord reminded me of a little incident that highlighted this, and it was quite fun. We went on a mission, a weekend mission to Lesotho. So Lesotho isn't too far from Johannesburg. It's a small country, sort of landlocked in South Africa. And we went there, and it was an all-night border post, and we got there sort of quite late because we had left after work on Friday night. We got there, and we found out that a couple of people on the team, they didn't have the proper visas because they had foreign passports and we had the wrong information, and they just said no, they can't come in. because they haven't got visas. And we were like, oh, Lord, this is going to mess things up. We're only there for 2 days. We haven't got time to go back and fix this. It's the middle of the night on Friday night. So we decided we're going to trust God. And we stood in a circle. We stepped back from the sort of window, the customs window. We stood in a circle and we prayed. We said, Lord, we're not going to go away. And we prayed for like 2 hours. And then we went again and we said, we've come with a mission from God. We're just going across the border. We're going to be with this pastor, that pastor, whatever. We can't you do something for us? Can't you help us? And eventually, like in the early hours of the morning, the sort of main guy came out and he said, all right, I'm going to do a special favor for you. I'm going to let you in. If you leave the people's passports here and you come and pick them up on Sunday, you can go and you can go just across the border. So it was completely against the visa policies. And we were just so amazed. We're like, when God wants to do it, He's able to do it. And there's so many, I mean, that was just for a 2 day trip. There's so many places where, I mean, there's resistance to missionaries going in. But so often there's so many testimonies of God saying, no, I'm going to override that action. And I'm going to have a visa granted for my people to go in. And when God backs us where He wants to go, there's incredible authority comes behind it. The resources of heaven, the backing of heaven, the authority of heaven. And this is particularly in the spiritual realm. The devil tries to say, nah, I'm going to resist you. And we can pray and say, in Jesus' name, and drive back the forces of darkness and bring about change. Every believer is a missionary. I was listening to some fellow on the internet the other day, and he was saying, no, the Great Commission is only for the 12. Jesus only gave it to the 12. So it's not for everybody. And I was like, I don't know, that's not what my Bible says, because the interesting thing about the Great Commission, Jesus says that everything I taught you to do, make disciples and teach them to do, that's going to include making disciples. And that's the beautiful thing about this passage, is it's a self-replicating, it has a self-replicating factor. If there's any chemists in the midst, it's autocatalytic. And a catalyst is the thing that makes the reaction happen. But an autocatalytic reaction is when the product of the reaction is the catalyst that makes more product. And that's the beauty of the Great Commission, because Jesus said, go and you go make disciples and teach them to make disciples and teach them to make disciples and make disciples and make disciples. And the autocatalytic reaction goes on and on and on. And that's why we're here today, because of faithful, obedient disciples. But what that means is our responsibility as the product of this reaction is to make sure that we are an example to the next generation, the next reagents that come along, so that we keep this gospel. There's a song in South Africa, La Di Evangeli Varol, which is like let the gospel wagon roll. It's like a Sunday school. We want this gospel wagon to keep rolling and keep moving along. So that's the beauty of this challenge to us. How are we doing? That's a challenging question to me in leading the church, and it's a challenging question to all of us. There are so many people who need to hear this gospel. And guys, I don't know you personally how well I'm doing. But that's why we need to be in prayer. We need to be saying, God, help us. Give us those opportunities. And some people are more gifted in evangelism, but all of us are called to evangelism. And all of us are called to be praying and looking for those opportunities. We're going to look at that. But the Bible says that God is with us. We have His authority. We have His backing. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and verse 8. But it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the uttermost ends of the earth. Power from heaven to do this job. That's why any one of us can do it. And it says, you'll be my witnesses. We are the witnesses. We go, yes, Your Honor, that's true. We saw that. We felt that. We've experienced that. This gospel stuff, this Bible stuff, it's true. We will witness to it under oath. Under threat of death, this stuff changed our lives. This gospel changed our lives. We've been restored to God, reconciled to Him. And we want to be those witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And you'll hear me say this often, it's not Jerusalem or Judea or the ends of the earth. It's Jerusalem where we are and Jerusalem. And it's not Jerusalem and then Judea and the ends of the earth. No, it's Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and the ends of the earth. They happen concurrently. And we've got to have a mandate for the local and for the translocal. It's not just for the evangelist. Paul says to Timothy, do the work of the evangelist. So obviously Timothy wasn't an evangelist, because Paul said to him, do the work of an evangelist. So you're not an evangelist. He didn't say do the work as an evangelist. He says, I can see that you're more a pastor, but do the work of an evangelist. We're all called to do the work of evangelism in our neighborhoods and in the nations. When we step outside the front door in the morning, every believer is a missionary. In our schools, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, and our homes. May God help us. We've got to be mission-focused. The Bible says in Luke 19, verse 10, we haven't got the scripture there, but it says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And that's got to be our motivation. Look at Luke 19 and verse 5. It's such a beautiful passage. It says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. I must stay at your house today. So that he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all grumbled, he's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Very wrong lens. These guys weren't looking through the lens of a God of reconciliation. And Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, since this man is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. There's that passage. How beautiful is that? There's this guy Zacchaeus. He's heard about Jesus and he's interested. So he goes and climbs a tree and Jesus sees and says, hey, come into your house for tea. Another Sunday school song. I want to come. I want to get to know you, Zacchaeus. And as Jesus went and spoke into Zacchaeus' life, Zacchaeus says, I've got a virus. I'm so greedy. I'm so gimme. I'm so mine. He was corrupt. He was a corrupt tax gatherer. And he was like, this has all been wrong. I want to repent. I want to make right. I want to get right. I'm going to give it all back that I've stolen. There's a complete transformation in his life because of the love of Jesus. But you see how it started with a cup of tea or a plate of hummus or whatever it was. Jesus says, I'm coming to your house. And then something happened by the power of the Holy Spirit that transformed that man. And what we start with is that I'm coming to your house for tea. Or you come to my house for tea. We befriend the people around us with a genuine interest, with a love that's not just trying to target them as convert options, but a love that says, I want the highest good for you. And the highest good is for them to know Jesus. And we don't shove that down their throats. And we start with love and friendship and meeting needs. And then when they ask, hey, what's this love we see in you? We tell them the good news of a God who wants to make friends with them, a God who wants to restore them to relationship with him. The second thing is we proclaim the king's message. An ambassador proclaims the king's message. And we do show love, but at some point we have to share the message. And you know, you've heard me talk about this before as well. The lovely truth, a saying that we should preach the gospel always and if necessary, use words. That's so true because we should preach the gospel by our actions, and our actions speak louder than words. But there comes a point where it is necessary to use words because it's the truth of the gospel understood by the heart and the spirit that leads people to salvation. At some point we need to say, I love you so much, I've got to tell you that sin is a problem in your life. And I've found the solution. I found a God of grace who wants to draw you back to himself through Jesus Christ. And we share that message. And here's an amazing thing. It says, so God makes this appeal for us as we see in our Corinthians passage, as we plead with men and women, be reconciled to God. We plead with them. It's like, come on. Oh, guys, you've got to know this. You've got to come back to a loving father like this. You've got to get away from that antimatter, that virus that will destroy you and separate you, that catastrophic separation from a God of love that you were made to know. And we've got to have that earnestness. And I'll tell you another old story. We wanted to do a play in our youth group, and it was about a bomb under a bench. And the idea was that you would, so if you knew there was a bomb under a bench, you would tell someone, get off the bench. You know, there would be an earnestness to share the gospel. But I made a prop for this little play. So I cut up a broomstick and I painted it red like sticks of dynamite. And I taped it up and I wrapped some wire around it. And then I found an old alarm clock and I thought, oh, that'll look good. And I found out that I could wind it up. So I wound it up and I sort of put it together. And I must say that this was in the days when there was a lot of terrorism in South Africa and all sorts of attacks and whatever. Anyway, I took this, my prop is looking really good, and I happened to wind it up and I put it on the dark shelf in the garage, and I was going to just get it on Friday when we went to you. Anyway, my brother-in-law was staying with us, and he ran into the house. I was away, I wasn't there. He ran into the house and he grabbed my parents and he said, you have got to get out of the house. And they said, what? He said, get out of the house. Don't argue with me. Get out of the house. And he like dragged them down to the bottom of the garden. And they said, what's going on? And luckily I'd showed my mom the prop, because he heard this ticking in the dark. And he like looked in and he's like, oh my gosh. It was so beautiful, because that was a much better illustration than our corny little play. Was like, come on, you've got to get away. That was real earnest, because he knew the danger. He thought the danger. He wanted to kill me, but that's the kind of urgency we've got to have. Now, it doesn't mean we go in like a bull at a china shop. We've got to look for the opportunity. We've got to be gentle, but we've got to have that. I appeal to you, come back to God. Be reconciled. We've become agents of that reconciliation, where we're calling people back to God. Guys, I really believe God's going to up our anointing in this and our gifting. And next year we want to trust that God will give us some training and equipping and whatever. But our focus of prayer, man, you guys, we know there's so many people that we know that need to know Jesus. And we want to ask God for those Zacchaeus opportunities. That we look at 2 Peter, 1 Peter 3 verse 14. It says, have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So it's not like a Bible bashy thing, but it's looking for any opportunity to share the hope that we have, the faith that we have. Having a good conscience, so that those when you are slandered, they who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Do you see the good behavior? Do you see the culture and the values of the kingdom that we live by? People will hate us because of it. But in the long run, they'll have to go, that's good behavior. And we'll have an opportunity to share. And I love how it says here, without fear. And we need to be just realizing that God is with us. We have the King's help. It's not how good we are, how well trained we are. It's just having that courage to take every opportunity to share faith with people. And He's with us. Matthew 10 verse 19 says this, and when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For whatever you say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's courage over capability. God saying, don't be afraid. Just give it a go. Give it a go. And I was chatting to a young lady who was trying to share her faith with her teachers. And she was like, oh, it was so difficult. I didn't feel like I had all the answers. And God says, you don't have to have all the answers. Just give it a go. I'll come. I'll give you the words. I'll take your words. I heard a guy, he was saying when he started witnessing, he there was this sweet brand. It was like the hell flavor or whatever, the fire flavor. And he said, I was so cheesy. He said, that's the last choice. And he said, I lambasted this guy about hell because of the last sweet that there was in the packet. And he said, it was like so terrible. It was so cringy. He says, but God used it in his life. And we need to just realize that God is equipping us. He's helping us. He'll give us the words. Let's be ambassadors. Let's lay hold of our identity in the coming weeks. So let's forget. Go over those identity creeds. And let's realize who we are. Let's live in the fullness of it. But let's really pray that God uses us as ambassadors. And I want to close with these words. I love this song. I think it's by Ray Bolt. And I'm just going to read two verses to challenge us. And he says, I dreamed I went to heaven. You were there with me. It's going to be a reality one day, guys. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing. Then someone called your name. You turned and saw the young man. He was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me. But he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you'd say a prayer before the class would start. And one day, when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. And I just love that because we don't know, but we know. We'll get to heaven and someone will say, some kid will say, Bev, teacher Bev, you thought you weren't having any fruit, but this is what that did. Or Bart, when you were in the farm there, when you were living for Jesus, you don't know, but this is the fruit that it had. Thank you. Thank you for being an ambassador. And it's true for all of us, wherever we might be. And what a thing to live for. May God help us to be great ambassadors. And may God move us with this gospel commission in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we just want to take a moment to be challenged by your word and the privilege that you've given to us, Lord, to be ambassadors. And we're all very aware, Lord, that old control locus tries to rise up, Lord. And Lord, usurp us with the virus or with the antimatter. But we want to be controlled by a different locus of control. We want to be controlled by the love of Christ. We want to be commissioned by the Spirit of Christ. We want to be ambassadors, Lord, who live the life, who share the message, who represent you well, Lord, in our gardens, in the messy gardens, in every garden that you want to bring the order and the beauty of your love and your grace and your reconciliation as you make your appeal through us. So please, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Work in our hearts this morning, Lord. And be faithful to your word, Lord God, as you equip us and you use us to share the gospel with others, to share the love of God with others. Speak to us even now, I pray. And maybe there's someone here today, you've never made a commitment to Jesus, and you've heard today the problem of the virus in your life, and you know, if you're honest, sin sucks. The pain you felt in your life is because of that sin. And God wants to rescue you from that sin. And He wants to love you like you've never been loved. But you can't be reconciled to him while that sin is undealt with. And that sin is dealt with by what Jesus did on the cross. And if you believe that and you'll give your sin to him, be willing to let go of it and give it to him, trust it to him, he'll cleanse you and save you of all unrighteousness. And if you're here this morning and you know that, you know I'm still with a sin problem standing before God. God said, return to me. Lay your sin down, give it to Jesus. Believe in me, turn away, and come to me. And he'll do that today. So if that's you today, just say, Lord, I'm coming home. Please forgive my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And all it takes is an earnest heart that's saying that, God, help me, God, save me. And if that's you today, and God has spoken to you, it'd be really great if you tell another Christian, or if you want to come and talk to someone, come and talk to me. But just make that response to God. And Father, I just pray for more and more and more. We'll just hear the testimonies. of lives transformed by the power of this message of reconciliation, this beautiful gospel. In Jesus' name, Lord, we worship you.